Hello, everyone. My name's Ian. Welcome to the 35th ever Iced Coffee Hour podcast. We're making a lot of money on this podcast. 33,938,73. That's a lot of digits, baby.
I'll take it.
That's good enough. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming on.
No, it's good.
It's good.
All right.
Thanks so much for coming on. We really appreciate this. You just filmed up like an hour-long shoot with Graham for the main channel, and you still have the energy to do this.
I'm a machine.
You were made for this.
Yes. God crafted me in his lab and put a lot of testosterone in me and a lot of dopamine.
Stamina, I would say, just to keep filming.
Yes.
Just to keep going. So thank you so much for coming on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always curious about this. I actually don't know the answer to this. Why did you come up with the name iDubbbz TV?
I'm wondering if I should give up game on myself or not. This would be new news for the internet. I think everyone
It's okay. Yes, Very few people watch this podcast relative to the other things you put on.
First name, Ian. Last name?
Donovan.
Last name?
What, Carter?
No, that's a lie. Oh. That's an internet lie.
No.
Yes. I don't usually give that away, but it's an internet lie. Last name starts with a W.
German?
No. Well, I'm not gonna give the full last name. You guys have to do some creepy kind of research to figure it out. But it starts with a W. iDubbbz.
Wow.
So we have to figure out your last name now.
No, you don't have to figure it out. I'll tell you guys after the iced coffee.
Okay, all right.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Why keep the lie going, though? What's the big deal?
Well, like, I mean, it's not going to matter now because everyone, like, this is why I avoid doing it. Because everyone in your stupid comment section, bless their little hearts, they're going to plaster it all over the place now, and it's going to be upvoted like crazy because we brought attention to it. But that's okay. I'm
vulnerability
willing to risk that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But why carry it so far? Why not just be upfront with your last name? Then no one would care about it. They only care because it's so secretive now.
That's true, which is exactly why I'm giving it up on the iced coffee hour. $33,000.
Good.
Wow.
Is there a reason you put three B's, right? Was it three B's?
Yeah. One B and two B were taken.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'm committed. I'm like, I need this name, but I don't want to put like numbers in it.
Who would take them? Who took those accounts?
Probably people with identical names, or I don't know. The letter and dubs is a very popular format.
Okay,
like among hip hop moguls, J Dubs, T Dubs.
But what about the TV part at the end? Was iDubbbz taken already? So you got like three B's.
No,
now let's put TV on top.
Exactly.
TV one.
So it first channel was demonetized because I was watching my own ads. Not actually.
What?
Not actually. But they were a little sus on the channel, so they suspended the account. So I needed to make a new one, and obviously three B's and a Z was taken. So I did add the TV.
Oh, you had iDubbbz.
Yeah, I have both channels. Yeah.
Wow.
You should sell that first channel. I bet there's someone out there who'd buy it from you, even if it's demonetized.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a good video. I sold my old, first nasty YouTube channel.
That would be funny.
And I could sell it to you, and you can go through and take a tour, because there's a bunch of unlisted videos. That's a lot of content.
Is everything unlisted?
Yeah. No, not everything.
How have I not seen that?
Yeah, was this just Minecraft content?
It is a lot of Minecraft content.
Okay.
Me and my buddy Rad Jor were playing this Minecraft DayZ combo game called Mind Z, where it's like zombies in Minecraft.
Okay. I've played that.
Yeah. How old are you?
22.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jack's a youngin'.
Yeah. There's some stuff on there. I was trying to break into it the other day, but I don't have the login credentials. I'll need to like figure out how to contact Google to hook me up.
Do you have a contact at Google?
No.
Nobody does.
Nobody does.
Gosh.
Except...
That's the... Yeah.
The, like, I don't know, very business-forward people. I think Ethan has a contact or a couple contacts because he's, like, very on the money when it comes to that stuff. Mm. But I'm just like, I need help from one Google person at a time every 3 years. So I'll reach out and I won't know their email or... They'll be defunct 3 years later.
So we have a genuine question. This is quite a bit embarrassing, actually. But why did you agree to come on?
Is that an embarrassing question?
I don't know. Because
should we not ask that? Yeah.
A lot of the times when we do collaborations with people, like Pokimane.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. I question
we
Pokimane.
We just were like, why does she want to make a video with us? If Eric Graham, if anything, right. it's like, it doesn't.
Okay. So I don't get to talk about my financials or any of the, I guess, sort of like even meta YouTube stuff very often. So, like, having an excuse to do it, it would be wildly inappropriate for me to do it on my channel. Mm-hmm. Me to be like, hey guys, forget the commentary, forget the this or that. I'm going to talk to you about what's in my bank account today. Like,
I bet your audience would love it.
They might.
I bet they would.
But I know that coming onto your turf, your audience is definitely going to be approving of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's the theory. I think that Graham's YouTube channel is disproportionately popular amongst YouTubers, like more YouTubers
seems like
your channel, because like Pokimane, it's like, what does she have any association with Graham? You know, but we had her on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you have a few things going for you. I think you like responded to like, I think Pokimane, like watching an original video of you on something else.
Yep.
And I think you coming at it how you did, where it's like, I'm just going to go through like the general critiques or the general things that, you know, because these are common questions that a lot of people have, I think, especially when they're viewing these weird Jubilee-esque videos and you're just getting kind of sound bites. So I think that clarification, I don't know, it made me confident that this would be an enjoyable experience.
I hope it is. Now the pressure's on because, like Jack said, I'm always questioning like, because I don't feel worthy a lot of the time. Like, for Pokemon, like, worthy. she could just...
She has so many people.
But she could just post it on her channel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but... And I'm sure that... I don't know if there are bigger channels on... But that's the thing. I don't know if there are bigger channels about business on YouTube right now. Maybe Valuetainment. I think...
No. But they're like they're like a corporation. It'd be hard to collab with them. You're just a YouTuber, you know?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's thanks a lot. Yeah. We appreciate it. Really. We're consistently being surprised.
I know. Do you have any tattoos?
No. However, I do have this. Yeah, right there. You see that?
Oh, that from a pen.
Tiny thing. Yeah, pencil.
Oh, I've got a couple of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My dad spooked me when I was coming out of the garage, and I somehow stabbed myself with a pencil.
You know what's funny? I actually have one little thing. You can't really see it anymore, but right there on my thumb, a little mark from lead. That when I was a kid, just a pencil went into my thumb, and it's still like a little, just you see a little bit of lead right there. It's never gone away.
So what you're saying is we're tough guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got one too. All three of us.
The ink.
It's significant.
Yeah, it's the same sort of, blood brothers.
Wow. Yeah. So would you get any tattoos, or are you not?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You would.
It's just, there's so many other things that like are taking up my interest. I actually imagine it being more of a later in life thing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel like it's a young person's thing to get a tattoo.
Yeah, I think maybe if you're doing it for, like, identity purposes or you, like, I don't know, like, you just like the look of them, like, you can get them kind of whenever.
Would you want to do one that's meaningful?
No, absolutely not. Anissa and I talk about it all the time. There's a ton of people criticizing, like, Anissa's tattoos, saying, like, oh, it's so basic. And then they'll, like, send a picture of, like, their tattoo that has meaning, and it's like a Triforce with their mom's face in it,
an
or some
infinity symbol right here.
Yeah, it's like, all right, meaning because your mom gave you Zelda when you were three. Awesome, dude. So yeah, the meaning thing I think is silly. If you want to have meaning, that's great for you. But I think most people do it because they like the aesthetics and the look of it. I think it looks cool. Yeah,
yeah. I couldn't do it.
I don't think Graham says he wants an entire sleeve, but only if you would have it for like a year.
Yeah, if it could disappear in like 2 years, I would do it.
A sleeve,
and just have it. Because I think it's cool looking, because I've always been in, like, the whole, like, the music, like, stuff, and I've just, it would be cool to be, like, playing the drums with, like, a sleeve.
Does that surprise you about Graham?
Not really. I think a lot of people will see the tattooed look, and like anything, like a piece of clothing, and they'll be like, that looks cool. Or, you know, you make some assumptions of, like, oh, a little bit mysterious, maybe they got a bit of a background. I think it builds some amount of, like, visual character that you don't already have. So it makes sense, especially the only having it for a year.
Yeah.
I don't want anything permanent like that. Like, We get tired of it, or I'd look back at it, or I don't know. I couldn't do it.
I think it would be funny, and it would be unique, to have a YouTube channel talking about investing and Roth IRAs and stuff like that, rental properties.
It would
and
be
just
cool.
Be like tatted up.
Yeah, and you have the chops now that you could do that, right? It's not going to affect your growth going forward.
I don't know. Because there are definitely, I think, certain people in the business world that are still very much
losers.
They're
losers.
They won't be able to see past that. And there are people that. So I almost see that as like, why be a little bit divisive if you can help
you can
it?
Just go
and
to it
it's all about
need,
the moolah.
It's all
how to
about
make
the money.
More
like,
moolah.
If I don't need the tech, like it's if it's not like something
what about
need
this?
To do,
what if you're able to like. Educate these losers about it, and it, the whole thing is like a crowdfund, or you sell space to brands
you on your like body.
What brands you got? Like
Weeble.
You get a Weeble thing on there.
Yeah,
they buy it. They buy space on your arm. You can even sell space to fans.
That reminds me of that Pixel website. What was it? The Million Pixels
million
or whatever?
Dollar,
million Dollar Website.
Yeah.
Million Dollar Homepage is what it was called. Yep. Did you hear about this?
No, what is it?
Genius idea. The kid wanted to pay for his college, so he creates this website, and he sells ad space permanently on this website, and it was like $1 a pixel, and he had a million pixels, so he wanted to sell out the entire front page, his homepage, and he did.
How did he get traffic?
It went viral.
Yeah.
This is like back in like the early 2000s or like the late 1990s.
Up?
Should be.
I think it's called the Million Dollar Homepage.
Wow. I got to check that out.
And it's still out there.
I'll throw up a screenshot, guys, so you can see it.
What else, Jack?
Yeah. I do want to say I really appreciate the new content you're putting out. I love it. I loved your old content, too. I'm a huge fan. I was really nervous to meet you. And I love the transition, and I just want to say something about the Dax Flame thing.
Uh-huh.
And also, actually, really quickly, I do want to say one other quick note. When are you going to do something with the report of the week?
Oh,
I love that.
Yeah.
That's going to happen. It better happen.
I hope so.
He never has gone on anyone else's channel, right?
Right. He's done something with, Business Insider, I think, but that's about
it. That was just, an article, right? Or, a quick video.
Quick video. I don't know. I think briefly reached out to him. He seems, I don't know, he's a funny guy on Twitter and stuff, but I don't know how into the idea he is, but that could eventually come for sure.
I think he's just nervous to appear on other people's channels, and he's also, a very large introvert.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But that would blow up, because people like me are just wildly curious what he's at, you know what I mean?
Right, in different environments.
What if you show up and he's wearing Air Jordans and basketball shorts down to his ankles?
Sweatpants. Oversized t-shirt on.
Yeah, Supreme. I don't know, I just think it would be interesting.
Gucci, head to toe. Driving around in a Lambo.
Yeah.
You would think, though, if he did that, someone would spot him. Mm-hmm. He would have a picture out there of just, he got caught.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah, there are plenty of people creeping around in public who could catch that. I think he's, I don't know if it's his grandparents' house or what it is, but I think that's where he spends most of his time when
nice
he's
place.
Not, driving around getting fast food.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to do that, you got definitely a full-time watcher.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
You got at least two. You have at least two views.
People will love it. They will love it.
Yeah.
Really quick, we have a word from our sponsor, Grammarly. There have been so many times in my life where I've had trouble writing effectively or expressing myself clearly. For example, usually when we invite our guests onto the podcast, it requires me to reach out to the guest via DM asking if they'd like to come on. This process can be really timely and my writing needs to be exact in order to be successful. I don't want my DM to come off weird. In case like this, it really helps to have Grammarly Premium. Grammarly is a digital writing assistant that will review any writing that you do and tell you how your tone comes off, give you alternative vocab suggestions, and help out with your structure. I know not everyone has to DM people trying to get them on their podcast, but Grammarly Premium can be used in plenty of situations, such as checking in on your family, sending recaps to teams in your organization, or sharing big news with your friends. I find myself using Grammarly Premium more and more just because of how easy it is. Plus, it's nice to know that whenever I am sending a message to someone, I know that I'm not messing up on the structure, my grammar, and it's not going to come off odd. On top of all of this, Grammarly just makes me a better writer, which I believe is a really important skill to have. Evaluate your writing with 20% off Grammarly Premium by signing up at grammarly.com/iced coffee. That's 20% off Grammarly Premium at Grammarly, GRAMMARLY.com/iced coffee. And with that said, thank you so much, and back to the podcast.
Definitely get that sense. A lot of people have been saying report of the week.
Have they?
Yeah, because it's just I think it comes naturally to a lot of people who watch these videos. They're like, oh, I've seen the fatty thing, I've seen the Dax thing. These are some characters that are a bit awkward, and I want to know more about them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, who else is like that? So report of the week comes up often.
Do you just want to do these like awkward figures who really just have a unique story, or do you want to just whoever comes up?
Yeah, whatever's the most interesting, I think. We have some people right now on the docket who are interesting characters. Can't say more than that, but they'll scratch an itch, a curiosity itch.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. How do you find people? Are these people that you just come across or you watch?
I mean, it's the same way people come across Report of the Week, right? Like, it's just, you know, browsing hours and hours of YouTube videos, you know, going down rabbit holes. I mean, it's constantly shifting. We have a big document of, like, people who are, like, crossing off lists and saying, oh, that won't work, or this is looking likely, or, you know, all sorts of things.
Have people ever not agreed to do a documentary? Like, you've come to them and said, "Listen, I prefer you not do it."
Yeah, definitely. There was someone that we were looking to do it with, and they just kind of got cold feet, and I understood why. I think they were afraid that we were going to put them in a bad light because they saw the Fatty documentary, and they were like, "You guys are just treating him like a clown. Like, it's just a spectacle. Like, you want to make me a spectacle," that sort of thing. And I understand the sentiment. It becomes a little bit different when you get to know them, and that's why I was, you know, I'm okay with doing it, because it's all in good fun. We wouldn't do anything that people weren't, like, comfortable with, you know?
Would you ever consider doing one of those videos on someone you made a content cop about as, like, a redemption thing?
Wow. Yeah.
Doing it on Leafy would be the most amazing thing in the entire world.
Yeah, wow. I mean, I'll
it would break the internet.
Yeah, I'll put it out there. I'm pretty much willing to do it with anyone.
That you had on Content Cop?
Yeah. So if someone wants to reach out, but it's one of those things, I don't blame anyone who, like, that's why I wouldn't want to reach out, because it's kind of like, hey, I made, like, a decent amount of money and views and attention off of you. I wouldn't want to then, like, intrusively double dip and say, you have every right to hate me, but hey, you want to do
it more out of you?
Yeah, exactly.
What can I get from you? Yeah.
It seems like a bit much, but I'd be okay with it.
I feel like they could appreciate it, because it's you wanting to know more about them and understand them.
Well, yeah, and there's a history there that we could explore. I think that could be really cool, because I've definitely grown. I've changed my mind on a lot of things, so I think there would be a lot to unpack and a lot to explore, but it's up to them. It's not.
For the content cops, obviously, I think none of that was personal, but Where am I getting with this? Was a lot of that just in good fun and good spirits, or do you think people were genuinely hurt by some of these things, or do you think it's just like just internet drama going back and forth?
Oh, I mean, like, all of the above, I would say. Like, a mixture of all of that. Like, it's, you know, sometimes it's like, you know, a lot of these channels, I just genuinely didn't like the either the videos they were making or the way they were, like, kind of putting themselves out there. I sort of tried to stick to, I don't know, like, more objective things, right? Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it just, like, a lot of it I'm not happy with, just because I don't think there's any way I could have done that without doing something more like a documentary that's a little bit more fair. Because people will kind of take what they want out of it. Like, it's all in an air of negativity mostly. And so even though I'm being negative about a certain list of things, people will be like, oh, like, we're hating this person now. Let's hate on this person now. And they'll add more things to that list. And it's like, I'm not adding all those things to the list. I was, like, pretty specific.
So this is getting a little more deep here. What do you think of, Graham, let me know what you think. What do you think of cancel culture? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. So you like it?
Wait, what? I was so confused.
I just,
like,
thought
yes
it was a funny question, so I just wanted to.
It's segueing into something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think of it?
Maybe.
Do you think that your content cops were any different than canceling?
No.
So you think they were canceling?
Yeah.
Wow. That just shattered my brain.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't take it, like, it is what it is. Like, it, I think you have to be a little bit logically consistent with it. Like, if you don't think it's a big deal that, you know, so-and-so did this list of bad things, like, I don't know. There's a spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think about all the people I've made videos on, and, like, like pretty far on that spectrum of like objective things that are like worth criticizing, I think you have someone like Keemstar, where mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, this is like a net negative on the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you like counteract that a little bit? And it's like, yeah, a little bit of criticism, a little bit of bringing people's attention to it. But there are other people, like I think the Leafy Content Cop, where it's like, yeah, this guy makes commentary videos and he kind of like makes fun of people. I'm literally going to do the same thing to him. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that is not a net positive.
It wasn't necessarily the same as it was for some of the other people you did on Content Cops.
Right. Yeah.
But the idea in mind with those episodes was to deplatform people?
No, definitely not. Like with something like the Keemstar one, like I wouldn't look for him to be deplatformed. No way. I guess that's the distinction
that's
you're making between
cancel
culture. It's very hard because I often think that a lot of people who, you know, get canceled end up just they do it themselves kind of way. Not by their actions beforehand, but their actions after people say that cancel so-and-so, mm-hmm. right? Like, because you can keep making videos. If people happen to stop watching it, you know, you could chalk it up to just about anything, right? Like, maybe you're on your way down anyway, right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe your views were going down anyway, and it was just a kind of a matter of time. But there's a lot of people. I mean, I think maybe Christy Elia is an example, right?
You know
the
Chris
comedian?
Elia. Yeah.
Yeah. He, like, I think, did, I mean, I haven't seen any of his stuff.
Yeah, he's just
at all.
Disappeared.
He's just disappeared. And it sort of depends on the thing. Like, if you, some of it's, like, really shameful and it feels really bad to just show your face in public again. And I think that kind of stuff is, like, it's, like, I think it's really bad to make people feel, like, that level of shame. Because that is unmatched, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no, like, average person who has to deal with that, like, sort of online, like, mob. So it's, like, we're really unprepared for it. Like, I can't even, like, I don't really even understand how, like, a therapist would deal with someone who's going through that, because it's like, where's your comparison? That you're getting, like inundated in social media, maybe inundated in your day-to-day life. Like, I don't know how you handle it. So I think that aspect is really tough.
And it reminds me, that reminds me of a story. I think 3.5 years ago, when I first started making YouTube videos, I had this guy reach out for a consulting call. And I took it. This is the hardest call I ever had to do. I don't think I've ever told anybody about this, actually. I don't know if I should just...
Mention it.
Okay.
Just don't say their name if you don't. You can say their name and I'll bleep it out.
The context gives it away.
The context will give it away. We could use your best judgment here. But it was... Actually, I'll get rid of some of the details. It was someone who is like, you type in their name and instantaneously the first thing comes up is some like really horrible cases that came up. And some really serious allegations against them, and because he has a really unique name. And he said he had to drop out of school, he left his job, no one will hire him, he spent all of his money defending him, his parents spent all of their money defending him, they have no money left, he can't get a job anymore, and wanted to come to me for advice. And my advice was, you have to change your name. Now, the crazy thing was that he was proven not guilty, but that was a year later. And by that time, all the articles that got bumped up to the top were like, allegation, you know, this, and that. It's a big case. But a year later, no one covered that he was guilty. So he's like, even though I'm guilty, people don't believe it.
Even though he's not guilty.
Even though he's not guilty.
Yeah, I think that is like the penultimate like example of how bad it can be. Like that's it. And that could be the case for a lot of, you know, YouTubers.
Yeah.
Streamers.
Yeah, but it goes to show you, like, some of that stuff will stick with you for a very long time. And I think we as humans are not dealt for that. Like, you have to think, too, we're used to being in, like, a small tribe, let's say, like, a little community, and not used to going out in public and, like, everyone universally just typing in your name in Google and be like, oh, you did that? Mm-mm. I don't want to risk
it. Yeah, just being ostracized.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I do agree. I think that a lot of the people that have been maybe canceled, their actions that led to being canceled... They didn't really foresee, like, maybe how bad they were. Maybe sometimes they were just being, like, ignorant and not malicious, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, they lost their entire platform. They can't show their face anymore.
Right.
And, of course, you can't really use ignorance as an excuse.
Yeah, but like, I think you...
But it's different.
Yeah, I think people want equity, and they think, like, you have... With a lot of famous people, I think they perceive their joy and, you know, the life they've experienced to be, like, very high up there in... level of happiness and enjoyment. So they're like, I want that same level in the other way, where you're getting torn down. And they don't really realize, like this, like, way worse happens all the time, all around them, at their dentist's office, you know, like, mm-hmm. wherever. And, like, oftentimes no one knows about it. Like, so it's, they, I think it's just important to understand that it's, like, it's a different world, and it doesn't necessarily need to be, like, you don't need to tear people down as much. Like, their mistakes being in the public eye is good enough. Like, that's good enough. You don't need to, like, further push it.
Yeah. The hard part now, too, is that everything is recorded. Like, every tweet you've made, every Facebook post. And, like, I think I got on MySpace. I was, like, 14 or 15 years old on MySpace. I'm sure I said some stupid stuff as, like, a 15-year-old on MySpace. Thankfully, that website's, like, you can't even log in anymore. So that's all erased. But I know it's, like, you've just done things that 30, 40 years ago, that never would have been, like, you don't have a text message
right,
from it.
Right.
But you just change as a person, and you evolve, and you look back, and you're, that's cringy, shouldn't have done that. But
well, yeah, that's a lot
up,
of the
yeah.
stuff that people are getting canceled for, sort of the, I don't know what you'd call it, the 24-hour cancelings of people, where it's like, you know, someone's name is trending, Doja Cat is trending, and it's like, it's trending because she tweeted some silly, like, you know, 5 years ago, and it's like, that's what everyone is doing right now. Like, you need to do that to get attention. Like, when I didn't have any followers, I was saying the worst shit imaginable on Twitter just to try to get attention. And, like, yeah, I'm not going to delete it by the time, you know, that I do get that attention. So it's like, I think everyone's doing some version of that because it's like, I'm not being heard by the world. If you're being heard by the world since you were born, you're not going to say the crazy stuff.
It might be like a curve. Like right now we're climbing, and soon enough we're going to realize that all of these people that are now 35, 30,
yeah.
like they did stupid stuff. Everyone does stupid stuff when you're 16, you know, 15, 17. And then all of a sudden we're going to realize everyone did it, and then we're going to come back down and we're going to take it for what it is instead of maybe hyping things up.
Yeah, how about everything before 20? We just chalk that up.
I would love that. I would actually love that.
Pre-20, it's just like you just forgive it.
Yeah. It's good. It's a little bit that way in other facets of life for sure.
Sure.
You know, but it's tough though because I think about how I was playing Minecraft at, you know, 23 and, you know, gaming it up with my boys and putting it on YouTube. It's like everyone matures at a different rate.
Yeah.
And like, I think like, you know, other people's 16 was closer to my 20 or something, you know, like not, it's sadly it's
makes
not
sense.
The same.
Are you more careful about what you say today and like what you put out there? Or are you still more free and just whatever you feel you want to just say?
I mean, I've always been careful about it. Yeah. Like, I think the sort of the more edgy content that I did back in the day, I shouldn't say back in the day, a few years ago, like that was all intentional. It wasn't like I was just saying, speaking my mind. Like a lot of that stuff, you need to be intentional if you're going to say it. And I think my thought process was if I start this off like as bad as it gets, then the rest of it will be smooth sailing. It's sort of like a strategic move.
Mm-hmm.
I look at a lot of comedians and a lot of comedians who just sort of have some of the worst jokes. They can kind of just get away with a lot more.
Yeah.
That's... Good answer.
Great answer.
Let's get back to the money.
All right, let's talk money.
Good. All right.
All right.
You guys have vehicles?
Yes.
Do you want to speak a little closer to them?
You guys have vehicles?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
You guys have Teslas?
Yes.
No.
Oh,
no.
Jack wants a Tesla
so
really
badly.
I tell Jack not to get a Tesla.
Yeah.
I think it's so important to always have that little carrot dangling in front of your face that like you could work towards that.
Yeah.
I know as soon as Jack gets that Tesla.
It's the next thing?
It's not even it's the next thing. You're going to, you just relax afterwards. You're like,
oh, come on. I'm not going to relax in my work, Graham.
You get a Tesla. When the Tesla's the one thing that you want more than anything, as soon as you achieve that.
Yeah.
But I think that that's speaking for some people. I'm a simple person. There isn't a lot that I want. I think you're similar. Like, I don't think that, because you said money doesn't drive you. I don't think it drives me either. There's just a certain, like, I want something, and once I get it, I'll be satisfied.
What do you think?
I think Graham has a point in that you... The pre-gaming is actually some of the funnest part, right? Where it's like, the anticipation of getting it, thinking about getting it. You know, if you're buying a Tesla, stretch that purchase over like a few months. You know, keep visiting the website.
Yeah.
Really,
I visit it all the time.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
I see that it's $560-something every day.
Right.
Like, I check it. I'm like, oh, the you know, price yeah. hasn't changed.
I think just use the philosophy of like maybe get it when you can buy like three of them.
Well, I told Jack when he gets a rental property that can pay for the Tesla, then he could get the Tesla. That's what I think. Yeah. It'd be a fair trade-off.
Everyone has like their own little like method of the madness. I think that's a good one. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What do you drive?
I'm really happy with my car. It's a 2019 Subaru Outback.
Nice.
Cool.
Okay. Yes. It's a recent purchase. I got rid of my Jeep. I was rolling around with a Jeep for a long time, mm-hmm. and it's awesome. I go off-roading. Mm. It has good MPGs.
Did you buy it new?
No. I bought it used off of the Carvana website.
Okay.
Really, I'll tell you what. Used car dealerships in general, are absolute hell. And that's like a good example of what we were talking about in the interview of like, you know, put money in things that like good experiences or good businesses that you've, you know, seen. And that was one of them where I was like, holy, they dropped the car off. I didn't have to deal with some lunatic. And it was way cheaper than, you know, any other car dealership that I went to. Yeah, it was like, it's a, oh man, it only had like 9,000 miles on it. And I paid like $23,000. And it's a like a $29,000 car.
Yeah.
So it was pretty substantial.
Cash? Bought a cash?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What's your opinion on that?
Cars, in the beginning, I'd always say get a loan on it. But I think now, for me at this point, it's not worth getting a loan.
Right. It'll change, though, depending on maybe the how expensive the car is.
I think it's really just the perspective of it. And I wouldn't exert myself anymore to try to save, like, an extra $50 a month by writing off a car loan. And it's just not worth the hassle, I think, at this point. It's just getting a loan, unless I really have to.
That makes sense. Yeah. But what are you riding?
2006 Lexus RX 330. It's my grandma's car.
That's sick.
Yeah.
What color?
It's a nice car.
It's white.
White.
And the steering wheel and the shifter, they're both like wood, glossy wood.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I want to see that. Well, I guess you wouldn't see that in a Tesla, but
no.
You can get the steering wheel.
Yeah.
Wood.
Yeah.
I like Jack's car a lot. We took it to Vegas one time, and the seats are so comfortable.
It's a nice ride. Yeah. Nice.
It feels like you're on one of those leather couches. You know those 90s leather couches that you just sink into a little
bit?
Right. It feels like that.
That's cool.
It's really nice.
Only 70,000 miles, too.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You can keep chugging on that
thing.
Yeah. Okay. That's neat. Yeah.
So what's your dream car?
Really quick, you guys, we have a word from our sponsor, SimpliSafe. Everyone wants to keep their home and family safe, whether it's from a break-in, a fire, flooding, or a medical emergency. SimpliSafe Home Security delivers award-winning 24/7 protection. With SimpliSafe, you don't just get an arsenal of cameras and sensors, you get the best professional monitors in the business. They've got your back day and night, ready to send police, fire, or EMTs when you need the most straight to your door. But that is not even the best part about SimpliSafe. Their systems can be set up in less than 30 minutes, which is nuts because usually for home security systems, you need to hire someone or it would take you hours. Plus with SimpliSafe, there's no long-term contract, no hidden fees, and no installation costs. Right now, my listeners get a free home security camera when you purchase a SimpliSafe system at simplisafe.com/iced coffee. You also get a 60-day risk-free trial. So there is nothing to lose. Visit simplisafe.com/iced coffee for your free security camera today. That's simplisafe.com/iced coffee. As always, more information is down below. Thank you so much, and back to the podcast.
You can get any car.
Oh, definitely the Tesla.
Really?
For sure, yeah.
Why don't you get one?
I think it's just kind of what Graham was saying. It's like this thing to look forward to in the future. Like, I don't drive too often. It would be super useful in the type of trips that I make, you know, up to LA and everything. But I don't know.
This may look. I don't want this to come off the wrong way. Okay, this is not anything directed towards you. But this is. I want your advice on something. Yeah. Yours as well. Since I am 22, I feel like there is something different about having a Tesla at 22 than there is at 27. Like, right now, I'm still so youthful. You know? Like, I'm so youthful.
That is Don't take this the wrong
that
way.
That is
but
such an awesome thing to say. So I'm youthful. Brimming with youth.
No, no, but like, okay, you're still youthful.
He's
at like 26.
Exuding youth.
But like, yeah. There's, I don't know, I feel like I still haven't gone through like that crazy maturation phase yet.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, well, maybe like, say, we'll say maybe not youthful, but immature.
He's, yeah, calling, you know? He's calling us old.
No, yeah, yeah, that's
there's
not,
no point to this.
I really did not.
Oh, no. Right. I'm not taking anything.
Of course, yeah.
Well, but yeah, I guess what do you mean when you say that?
What, like, if I were to wait, you know, 4 more years, and technically I'm able to afford it now, but what if I waited till I'm 26? And I feel like, you know, dangling the carrot's good, but having your dream car at 22 versus having it at 26 while I'm still so... I don't see friends.
Jack, it's like the difference between getting a Lambo at 20 versus a Lambo at 30. The Lambo at 20 is a much different experience than Lambo at 30.
All right, enough of that. Enough on the Tesla. Let's change the subject.
I just think it's important to always have that thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to... I've noticed... Yeah. I haven't seen the videos, but okay. I've noticed you've been posting some videos about Bitcoin or crypto in general, because that's popping up.
Yeah.
What... Give me the skinny on what you've been saying in these videos.
Okay. I put 1% of my portfolio into Bitcoin and Ethereum. So 60% Bitcoin, 40% Ethereum. Ethereum's actually done better for me as an investment overall than Bitcoin so far. What changed my mind? I've always been against cryptocurrency. I've always just felt like I've dabbled in it just to see what it's like, just wanted to get some experience. I saw the appeal, but I'm just like, eh. What really got me was a lot of the mainstream adoption and how so many people were putting a small portion of their money into Bitcoin. And I'm thinking, with the amount of money just entering the economy right now, there is no chance that we don't see inflation in the future. I just think there's so much money just mm-hmm. pouring out there. And I think to risk 1% of my portfolio, that would be a better use of my money than keeping that 1% in cash, let's just say. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a bigger risk to not investing 1% than there is to invest 1%. Even if that 1% drops 90%, like, so what? I lose 1%. Not a big deal. But in a small chance that maybe it just does really well long term,
yeah.
I don't want to look back and be like, oh, I wish I kept it.
Yeah, that's like my same logic with it. Is that a recent change then?
This month. Yeah, when did I buy? I bought in, I think, beginning of the year, like 3 weeks ago. Yeah, beginning of the year. And honestly, part of that reason was like I had so much cash. And I'm like, it's stupid just keeping it. I may as well just 1% into this. Uh-huh. And just, if I need the money, like, I'll just sell it. But it's certainly interesting. And the more I look into it, believe it or not, the more open I am to it. Mm-hmm. Like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I was like, what's the point? But honestly, the more research I'm doing, I wouldn't tell people to be like, go all in or invest. Like, this is a great mm-hmm. investment. But I just think long term, it could be a good hold.
Yeah,
you can risk it.
What I've been seeing is a lot of people, like pretty level-headed people, doing that sort of technique. Not 1% necessarily, closer to like 10%. As a sort of a gold replacement, if you are a gold investor,
yeah,
not investor, but like a hedge against inflation kind of thing. That's what I've done.
You're 10%?
Yeah,
10% in gold or Bitcoin?
Bitcoin, not Bitcoin. Ethereum, kind of the same.
When price. Did you start buying crypto?
Earlier than January, it was some, I think in May.
That's
and
a
then
good time.
Some, yeah, that was a good time.
Wow, May. So that would have been, it would have been about 7,000. Yeah.
And then year before that, I got in at like 3,000 or 4,000.
Oh my
so
gosh.
So it's a good, like I'm becoming more convinced because at the time it wasn't too much money for me. But I like the idea of like, can you stand to lose this money? And if you're kind of okay with losing that money, it's totally worth putting in there.
Did you go in with 10% of your net worth, or did it grow to 10% of your net worth? Because I'm sure that it's grown faster.
Yeah, it really has. But I mean, everything's kind of been growing in tandem, mm-hmm. I would say. It's more so closer to grown to 10%.
Okay.
And I'm just like, I'm totally fine with that. I'm putting more in, but it's a bit of a wild ride.
Yeah.
But you also don't hold index funds.
No.
Which I feel like if you for every dollar you have in Bitcoin, you should at least have like 1 to 2 in index funds. You at least, so? Don't
index
you think?
Funds are like the foundation. They're just a safety net. Right. You're never going to see them go down 20%. I mean, I guess it's possible, but rare. You're going to see a big drop like that versus, let's say, something like Plug.
I wouldn't even consider it capital preservation. Like, it definitely will grow your account.
Right. That makes sense.
Tends to be a lot more steady. You don't get the big ups and downs. You get a, you know, solid plus or minus 2% at the very most in a day, usually. Something around there.
Is the, like, hedge against inflation, like, your main reason for, like, being convinced of it? Or is there, like, something more that, like, really changed your way of thinking and being like, oh, this stuff is worth putting money into?
Yeah, I think as people are really adopting a digital dollar, I think it's hard not to look at Bitcoin as just a store of value. That did it for me. And I would say also maybe equally just the inflation bit. I just, I really believe that our dollar at some point has to be devalued. The only reason it's not right now is because nobody is spending money. And there are very few places spending money. Like even here, you can't walk down the street and spend money to rest. Like almost all of them are closed. Only a few of them are doing delivery. People aren't really traveling as much. So there is no demand to, there's not a lot of money going into the economy to really cause inflation right now. I just think at some point, give it a few years, eventually people got to return to normal again. They got to start spending money. And I think at that point, we could see just the dollar losing its value. I don't think it's going to be like, you know, Venezuela or anything, but I think it, we could see just high inflation and the Fed might go and raise interest rates to help calm that down. Who knows what's going to happen, but
yeah, everyone's very clueless right now.
It's a guess. I mean, that's just a guess, and I'm sure you could guess 100 times, and one of those will turn out to be correct. That's just what I think.
I sort of, it's funny. I think it happens with all the finance channels, but I sort of roll my eyes because I'll see, like, one of your videos where it's like, stock market is going up or crashing or whatever it is, and I'm just like, oh, like, I cannot watch these videos because it's just like, it all feels like, I mean, it obviously is all speculation or whatever.
No, so in my videos, I almost never speculate. So all of those videos are, they take me like 10 hours to
research. But the thumbnail is speculation.
No, it's responding to a claim that an economist made about that.
Yes.
So it'll say like stock market's peaking, but it was an article that was published. And then it's Graham's take on it.
So my video, so yes.
You
my,
use that as the
That's the intro.
Yeah.
And then, you have to, because if I'm like, stock market update Tuesday, January 7th, nobody will click on that. But if I reference an article saying the stock market is a bubble, exit now, and you lead with that, first of all, that gets people even to just click on it and watch.
And it's good that people watch finance content.
Right.
But isn't that good?
To draw them to it.
But my goal is to always flip them around in the video. So they're clicking into it with the expectation, like, is the stock market going to collapse? But then in the video, it's a well-researched perspective of what happened, what led up to this, and statistically what's likely to happen because of that and what you should do. But it's never like panic or now the market's just go and sell. Right. But that's a way to lead people in to the point that gets them interested. And then when they're in it, you could give them just practical information that they could take away from. So that's always been my go-to. But yeah, I mean, definitely the titles and thumbnails, like, you have, especially for
I will say, a topic like finance.
You are not the worst by any means. You have really nice thumbnails that are compelling.
Oh, geez.
There are people who have thumbnails that are basically like three stocks you got to buy now. But they won't say you got to buy now. It'll be like a lot more vague, like three very lit stocks.
Check out.
Yeah.
Three 10X stocks I'm buying today.
So you are more of a real estate guy, yeah? That would be your expertise?
I would say until recent, I felt like, in a way, I've done like everything I could in real estate for the most part. Like, I've got to a point where I feel competent in it. It started to get repetitive for me, and now I've had so much fun with either just business in general or YouTube.
That makes sense. And you don't have that many properties, do you? You have
eight. But they're LA properties, so like one LA property could be, you know, five other properties. So so that is one of the things that people look at me and be like, well, he only has eight, but I have 50. But oftentimes my eight are, when you look at a dollar amount, it's a significant amount just because it's LA.
Yeah, that makes sense. Don't feel bad. I don't think it's impressive that they have a bunch of units in Kalamazoo.
No, but I don't know. I've just liked the creative expression of, I think, business in YouTube. Yeah. And just, I love coming up with ideas and just finding different ways to get your idea out there. And it makes me so happy when things catch on. Like Yada Bank was one of them, where when I made that video about Yada Bank, I don't know exactly how much value they got from that video. I've been telling Jack this. I mean, how many tens of millions of dollars in value they went up because of the video that I made. Yeah. They were the top 10. It was like, I forget what it was, one of the top trending apps. Mm-hmm. It was the number one trending app on the Google Play Store and finance for like a weekend after that video, because so many people downloaded it. I'm like, how much value did that add to the company?
What, are you allowed to talk about the nature of the deal, like how much you invested or anything like that?
Couldn't say, unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. Did you
at one point? I'm sure if they IPO or something happened, I'm sure I'd be able to. I really want to be able to talk about that.
What about was any part of it part of your or any of the value? Was the deal structured in such a way that you got more of something, or based on your video performance or anything like that? Not like a. Like kind of like a sponsor deal or something like that?
Not really. I mean, I did.
That's not meant to be a gotcha. I'm just curious.
No. I mean, I do. There is a referral link, so if people use my link to sign up, I do get credit for that. But with these companies, it becomes so just abstract to think, what were they worth before?
Mm-hmm.
If I post a video, how much are they worth afterwards?
It doesn't. You get.
How much is that spread? How much value did I bring to them? And what was my cut on that? Mm-hmm. And I have no clue.
Right. Kind of saying, I'm lucky to be just being in this thing.
And from my perspective, like, I cared more about just getting a good video out.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think, like, I was unsure that video would do well. I just wanted to get a good video out there, share something that, like, just different from my normal content. Like, I was more excited about that.
Right.
But then I started thinking to myself, like, how much value is there in this? Because I had never seen that before. And then I'm starting to think, like, if another company were to come to me in the future that I could do something similar, how much is that? Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's a new world. And so I'm valuing more now. Instead of getting money, I just want equity. Like that's mm-hmm. something that I think going forward in this year, it's like, I don't want the money anymore. I just want the equity. I want to take a chance on a company that I really believe in. Mm-hmm. And if it turns out to be nothing, fine. But if it turns out to hit, great. But I'd rather stand behind just something that I really would use myself.
So you do all your business deals yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have any sort of brand manager or anything like
that? No. Jack,
do you have a brand manager?
Yeah.
No. Kind of. Like part-time.
So they just present you with deals and you...
Occasionally,
like, and you also, if you get emailed directly from the company, you'll also negotiate that way?
Yeah.
You won't send it to your brand manager?
No. You guys don't turn these into highlights, do you?
No. We will once we hit 100,000 subscribers. We're at 90,000. We're going to hit it in like a few weeks.
Is there a reason you guys are... I feel like you would hit 100,000 a lot quicker than you have.
Graham doesn't shout it on his main channel.
Okay.
Probably.
I feel like there are too many things for me to mention, and I'm like... I mentioned the second. Usually...
I think finding it more organically.
I think that's exactly right. I've been doing the exact same thing for my Twitch channel.
Mm-hmm.
That way you get the most fervent...
Yeah.
People in your comment section to start.
Yeah,
you lay
true.
A really good foundation, and then that's when the floodgates can open.
He sends them to the second channel, and on the second channel, he sends them here.
So there's a filter. The second channel, the people are so dedicated on there, but the podcast, I think our view to subscriber ratio is so high on the podcast. With 90,000 subscribers, the videos will usually get anywhere from
get nearly 100,000.
50 to 250,000 views. So, like, I like that ratio that more people are watching it mm-hmm. than even subscribe. But the people who are subscribed are, like, the dedicated just...
He shouts it out the end of, like, a 17, 18-minute video. Like, second
so but even the conversion rate at the end. My theory is that the people who make it to the very end are most likely to actually... So, like, why waste a pitch? Pitching to someone who's just going to get aggravated. Like, why is he pitching me? At the very end, at least they're more receptive to it. And those are the people most likely to do it anyway. So, it's like... I'm not going to waste a pitch on someone who doesn't want to hear it. So
that's good. That's super valuable. I think that makes sense.
I'm very anti-sales when it comes to a lot of things. Like something like the Weeble plugs, I'll do them just like tongue in cheek. Get your four free stocks.
Right, you got to feel
it's like
it
a
out.
Funny sort of But I'll never be like really like seriously pitching. I don't like it. Just just irks me, especially in finance. Just like the finance guy trying to pitch you on something just has a bad connotation to it. So I just avoid it.
Okay, so this is a question that, I mean, I think a younger me would have for, I think, both of you. It seems like a lot of what you guys do is very daunting at the start. Like, the way you talk about real estate, it's just, like, second nature now. Mm. But obviously, when you got started, I imagine it was a lot more daunting.
It's crazy,
Is there a, like... I guess a method or like a thought process that you had when you were younger that helped you like get past these like really daunting moments where it's like you have the idea of getting into real estate. Like, what is the next step? And like, because I often feel like if I want to do something like that, I'll watch a YouTube video and now I have 10 more questions about it.
Yeah. For me, it was really doing it firsthand. I had a really amazing teacher when I first started real estate. And this was just by a random stroke of luck. People have heard the story a million times. But when I was like turning 18 years old, I'd go to open houses every single Sunday. And I would just go and meet with real estate agents and ask their advice. And I was basically just turned 18, like barely 18, walking in to like $5 million houses in Bel Air. Like, I just went to the homes that were over like $3-4 million. Because I figured if I'm going to sell real estate, I'm just going to sell the most expensive ones. And I talked to those agents. And after months of doing that, just one agent took me under his wing just by random luck and basically said that you could come work underneath me. Whatever business you do, we'll split 50-50 and just I'll help you out with this. So he had me doing just his all the grunt work that just like people wouldn't even want to get paid for. I did it for free. Because I just wanted to learn. But this was like going and setting up his open houses, putting open house signs, dealing with a horrible, just the worst, his worst, most difficult clients that were wasting time. He just sent me because he didn't want to ruin that relationship with the client, but he knew they're just like wasting time. And so I just happened to get in through that. He was a great teacher. But I remember in the beginning, he showed me like escrow paperwork, and it's like this thick of just disclosures, and I'm like, I have to know all of that. Like, how do I fill out those forms? It took me probably like 2 years to really get good and like feel comfortable to like fill out my own form online without having somebody else review it.
The thing like you, the way you described it at the start, it was like I just went to open houses. I feel like for a lot of people that it would not be that easy. It wouldn't just be like, oh, I'll go to an open house and learn as much as I can. Ears wide open. It's like, do you feel like you might be wired a little bit differently?
Probably.
that wasn't too daunting? And even talking, how old were you?
18.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah, being freshly 18, I would not feel remotely confident enough to walk into an open house, especially in Bel Air, and just start talking to like a real estate agent.
I was weird. I don't know. I've always felt like an old soul. Like, I've always felt like deep down I'm like 80 years old.
Yeah.
It's weird. I always felt like very socially awkward with people my age, but for some reason I could get along with people in their like 40s and 50s. Even as a kid, I remember like my mom would take me to in kindergarten or whatever, like first grade, take me to these like play dates. I would not play with the other kids at all. Like, I just would look at them and be like, what are they doing? That's weird.
Are you an only child?
Yeah. Well, I have a half sister, but she's 18 years older than me. So I never really grew up with a sibling. But I would just hang with the adults. Like, I just never got what all the other kids were doing. Then when I was like 13, I got a part-time job working at this marine aquarium wholesaler because I was really into aquariums.
Oh, I've heard this story.
Yeah. And that's where I spent, like, I through that weird phase of a few years, like, I really didn't have many friends. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, I just loved working. Like, that would, like, I would hang out with people at work. Like, we had this guy, Andy. I don't know how old Andy was at the time, maybe mid-30s or something, but like he really took me under his wing and like would go get lunch and talk like fish and aquariums and stuff like that. And the owner, Chris, we'd have these great talks, and Chris would teach me like how to talk on the phone to customers and like what to say and how to bag up the coral and the fish and when to put the heat packs in and the cool packs.
You were just all ears. You're just listening.
I loved it, but I couldn't go and like hang out with kids my own age because it didn't click. Even now, it's like I'd much rather like work than I would like go to a party or like I'm so weird in social settings like that. But like business, I could zone in on that. Yeah. Like, I just love that.
Have you gone to therapy or anything like that?
Yeah,
you have.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's a valuable thing?
I've never gone for therapy for that.
Oh yeah, not, yeah. I'm sorry. Not necessarily yeah. for a thing. I mean, yeah. specifically that thing. I was just wondering, like,
just in general. Yeah,
yeah,
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of that I think is trying to find like just balance. Because usually when I get into something, I go like head first. Like it's right. just all
it's
I want to do.
Of work.
But part of me is just like I just love it. So yeah. like, is it a problem? Maybe. But like I love it so much that I feel like it would be taking away a portion of like who I am as a person if I didn't work so like I
right.
just love.
I guess yeah. the way I see it yeah, is I think is yeah. that what you are. Like the things that you like to do, like lines up very much with like what our society has like deemed the right things to do or whatever. And you're just like, oh yeah, I love like maximizing, you know, value and all this sort of stuff and schmoozing with people 30 years older yeah. than you.
But I've been like that since I was a kid.
Yeah.
Even like I got into collecting coins. My grandpa showed me his
That's
coin
funny.
Collection when I was like 4 or 5. And then yeah. what I would do is when my parents would come home, they'd take the change and yeah. I'd look through like all the coins and I had this big book, like this red, it's like the red coin book or something. And I'd look at the pennies in the years and I'd be like, okay, this penny's worth like 5 cents. And this nickel, this is a 1945 nickel. So it's like 90% silver. So I'm going to put this one aside. Like I'd keep those.
Yeah, you're a geezer.
Like, I was just, same with Pokemon cards. Like I got so into collecting.
I was going to ask you about that. Yeah. I noticed that you bought a Logan Paul pack.
I did. Yeah.
How much was that?
$11,111.11.
What do you categorize that spending as?
Terrifying.
No, not terrifying. Well, yeah. Where is that worst investment of your life? Do you call it an investment? You call it a shout out?
That was an investment for me.
Yeah.
I looked at that from a very financial standpoint.
Uh-huh.
When I saw his video and I saw he had packs come up, I'm like, okay, I'm going to spend $11,000. What am I going to get back in return? Well, I can make a video on it. Mm-hmm. Just making a video on it,
is
I know
kind of enough.
Yeah. So that'll make the money back if I just make a video. But then I'm thinking, well, I could make a video on anything and it would make the same amount of money. So now I'm really just spending $11,000 for a shout out from Logan Paul. Well, that's not going to do much. But then I'm going to spend $11,000 to make the connection. How much is that worth? And then I get the cards. So I really looked at this like the risk of buying and spending 11 grand was probably worth it, knowing that I get to make a video, get to network, and then I have the cards.
Yeah.
And then it's just interesting content.
That makes sense.
And, pulled the Gyarados. So that made the money back, yeah.
Did you buy from PokéRev as well? Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. Didn't you get the Gyarados from PokéRev?
No.
No?
No. So PokéRev, I bought a first edition Neo Genesis. And then it turned out to be a fake pack.
Oh, I watched that video. Yeah. That was crazy.
Yeah. That was one of those very few live streams I'm like glued to my phone. I'm like, oh my God.
That was so cool. I was like, man, this guy should get more fake boxes because that was entertaining as
hell. Yeah, I told him, by the way, I don't know if I guess we'll put it in. I told him to send it to
PSA
to see if they would grade it and to see if they like couldn't detect this as a fake. Who knows? I think he's going to do it and just see. But if it comes back like graded, then all the PSA cards, I think, are kind of now
that's
now
scary.
Worthless.
That's really scary.
Yeah, now they're all worthless.
There's no way they don't detect that.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, and it's like that. That's got to be part of their process, because that would cripple them.
Yeah.
Like,
it has to be.
They're probably better at grading cards than the people, how good the people are at creating fake cards.
Right.
You know what I mean? I like to at least hope that.
It's a lot of, I mean, that was a lot of work making those fake cards.
I know.
Because they were close.
I know.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
And they can't do things like the rip test and stuff like that.
Imagine just ripping and then putting tape together, just taping it back on again.
Yeah.
But thankfully, the Logan Paul thing really worked out. Pulled the Gyarados, made my money back on that. And then I put the other cards on eBay. And I used all those proceeds to donate towards NAMI.
Cool.
Yeah.
That was a Leonhardt organization whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So exactly. So my plan was just at least at the very, like the worst case scenario, I could donate a good chunk of that back to charity. So did that. Met Logan Paul. He's really nice. And what's that? And then that's led me to so many other connections. Like we met Gary, King Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
We got an amazing connection through him. Learned a lot about Pokemon. He introduced us to Steve Aoki. And just, you never know where these things might lead. So I'd say for $11,000, that was money really well spent.
Yeah.
And even if
the
I pulled
video
nothing.
Itself, the Logan Paul video did really well.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, that's a good gamble to take. It's just right. like the idea of like video pays it off. Okay. Everything extra is going on.
I'll tell you the only bad investment that I've, that made me hesitant about this was I spent $8,000 on Tesla Full Self-Driving just so that I could make a video on it. And I asked them ahead of time, I'm like, is there any way I could get this like sponsored? No. Is there any way I could get a discount on it? No.
But it's full self-driving.
Not worth it.
What?
Yeah.
It's still in beta mode. It's like beta, it's not the greatest.
Yeah. Oh yeah, so, but you're gonna still have it once they get it better.
Yeah, that's true. But I spent $8,000 on this and the video bombed. It was one of my worst performing videos. And I think I made two grand back. I would have never had used it. I didn't need it. Mm-hmm. It's right now, it's not that cool. So I keep looking at that video. I'm like, that was a waste of money. But you never, sometimes they hit and sometimes they don't.
One thing that I want to mention to address your question as well, because I think I'm in a little bit of a different situation than Graham. Like, I didn't find myself inherently drawn to investing or anything like that. Although I've been investing now for over 10 years, which sounds fishy because I'm only 22.
Right.
But interestingly enough, like some events that happened when I was really young, like 10, 11, kind of forced me to start investing. So I actually started investing at a really young age. And I wouldn't say that like I would not say that naturally I would have involved myself investing if this hadn't happened.
Yeah.
But it was just because of like my parents, they are like really into investing, or my dad is, and he would tell me all about it. And I think that led to me like kind of having an easier in to investing. And I would say if that wasn't for there, I don't think I would have naturally been drawn to it.
Right. That makes sense. Wait, so you were investing when you were how old?
11.
11?
My 11th birthday.
Yeah. What was your first like thing you did?
I think Apple. I bought Apple. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet. That's probably a good time, huh?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's but crazy. That's like to show that like, maybe not everyone is like inherently interested in investing, but there's external things that can kind of lead you to want to invest, which is what I hope that like Graham's channel has done for a lot of people. And I bet it has.
That's a great point. Yeah. I totally agree with that. I think
I think a lot of people are that way.
Yeah.
You know, you could teach them how to do it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't. And you get more excited as you go along with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I've definitely been that way over the past 5 years. I've been, before that I was just kind of, trying to get a day job kind of thing. And it's like, that's going to be the income. And now that you have the day job, it's like, figure out what to do with your extra money.
It's scary.
Yeah.
Like I get all my friends, none of them are interested in finance. So it was always me just talking with my dad and I try to get them to invest, but they're not working like crazy jobs or anything and they're so scared to do it.
Right.
And I'm like, wow, I never had to deal with that because like I was just forced into it. I can't even remember what it was like to make my first investment.
Right.
Like that was just, I was so lucky. That's really all it came down to, was just luck, to be honest.
Show them Wall Street Bets. Are you on there?
I've heard a lot about that. Oh, I don't know. Like, it just sounds like it's mostly memes. Like
a lot of memes, but some of these stuff, like GameStop was one of their recent calls, and they've probably, 6x'd that price of GameStop.
Well, so Palantir, people are like seriously just like following the subreddit and just being like, whatever they say, I'm putting money in.
Correct.
Do they give like the original poster? Do they give like a solid breakdown?
No.
What
so what ends up happening is that someone will post what's known as like DD, due diligence, and they'll come up with these like just crazy things of just saying like this isn't a short squeeze and this is about to come up. And then what ends up happening is you start getting these memes that get made. And the more popular it is, the more people buy into it, which causes the price to rise up. And then there's a price rising up. Then people post their gains. And then you see then more people buy it. And it keeps driving up the price. GameStop was one of those. There's been quite a few. Previously, it was Tesla. And people have started making these bots that will comb the subreddit and pick up how many times certain stocks are mentioned. And it'll come up with a list of just like the top most talked about stocks last like 24 hours, and then you could trade based off that.
That's insane.
You have a community of like 2-3 million people who all are following like the same stocks, they do have an impact on the market, at least short term. I think long term, no, but I think over the next like week or two, they can. But also, some of these just lose money. A lot of them lose money, or if you don't time it right, I mean, it's really
everything
gambling.
Is Hail Mary.
It's gambling.
It's just like I'll put my life savings into like some call option. But it's really entertaining.
Yeah,
it's
no, funny. I can imagine. Like
the community is actually that jokes are funny.
Yeah, I follow it really closely because not only do they actually post like good information, but some of the loopholes they find. Like they found the Robinhood infinite money loophole. And they like found this glitch in Robinhood before it was like even borrowing. A thing. And then just everyone exploited it right afterwards. Like and Robinhood was trying to like fix these exploits that Wall Street Bets has figured out. And so they're the ultimate test for some of these brokerages. Like if you could survive this, you're good.
It's crazy the power that Wall Street Bets has. And now Robinhood has more users than TD Ameritrade. And you know like all the Robinhood people are like the Wall Street Bet people. And when everybody says something, just pump up a stock.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we're definitely, I feel like...
They can move markets, dude.
But we're just in the beginning of this whole fintech thing. Mm-hmm. I just think this is... Fintech is going to be, I think at some point, like the green energy is becoming now. I think it's already going in that direction. But I think personal finance is going to be trendy. Saving money is going to be trendy. Investing is going to be cool. Like, look at all the high schoolers. They get to invest their money. Like, I think at some point... Maybe it's just like some dystopian idea that I have, but that I would like to see.
Yeah.
But I just think like middle schoolers will look up to the high school and be like, oh, look, they're trading on Robinhood. Look how cool that. Yeah. I think it'll be like that one day.
It could be that. The culture has to change, though. It's like.
But it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like a consumerism. Yeah.
No, I think we're sure. No, the savings rate lately has been going up.
Yeah, because they can't spend it.
Before then, the last few years, the savings rate has increased. And I think just people are getting more thrifty. I think just we went through a horrible time where millennials graduated with a lot of debt, just got saddled with a crap job market, and they really had to take matters into their own hands. So I think now people are really realizing the importance of personal finance.
It could happen.
It's going in
that
direction.
I just feel like it's leveraged more toward the older crowd in general because everyone's an idiot who's like under 18, so I don't feel like not.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
feel like in general, it's like always going to be an old person's game.
Maybe yeah. I don't know.
Older,
maybe.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on people going straight into like investing and stuff like that, and it being scary?
Oh yeah, like it really is. It's weird. I kind of relate to your sentiment about like getting into it early, where you had this role model of your dad. Who like wasn't fearful about it and wasn't like, oh, be careful or whatever. I mean, maybe he was to an extent.
No, he wasn't.
Okay. But it instills a level of confidence that you need to start investing to make these decisions. Cause I'll sit on TD Ameritrade's website and just like ponder decision like for hours and just be like, should I be doing this? Like, I don't know. And it's just like, it's completely fine. Like, even if I was putting into an index or whatever, like it's totally fine. I'm afraid to even transfer money oftentimes because it's like, what if it gets lost in between?
I get paranoid about the same thing too.
And here,
the same thing. I will always transfer $5 or $10 first, yeah. Even though I know the account's linked, just to make sure it goes through. And then I'm like, okay, now I can do the rest all the time.
Yeah.
I actually had it happen once before. I transferred $100,000 or like $150,000 from Bank of America to it was like a Chase or something like that. The wire was lost. I kid you not. It was the scariest moment of my life, $150,000. And I forget what it was, but there was like something that wasn't correct. And I forget if it was on Bank of America's part or like I mixed up the account number and the routing number. Like something like that got mixed up and it got sent to the wrong spot. Try reaching someone at Bank of America.
Yeah.
Try it. You can't do. I was on the hold for like 2 hours trying to reach somebody in the wire department. And then by the time I reached them, the department was closed. And then I had to call them back the next day try to trace down this wire. And it was gut-wrenching. But like 5 days later, the money showed back in the account because they told me like we can't do anything because it's out of our hands.
So that's scary.
So the only thing we could do is wait for it to get rejected and then it's going to come back. And I had to just wait for it to be rejected, which took days. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. I just mentally, I was in such a bad mood. But it's scary. So since then, I will never send a wire with Bank of America ever again. I will only do ACH transfers. For some reason, I find that to be just safer.
Right.
Yeah, scary stuff.
I think the idea, and Graham and I have talked about this before, but the idea of losing money is scarier than like, being happy to make money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It totally
like there's
is.
A bigger difference.
Yeah. You work for your money.
Mm-hmm.
You
and know? People just don't have that certainty, like in investing in the market, that they will get good returns.
Right. I try to like tell myself and Anissa and even my parents, like, hey, look at the, like, S&P. Like, that just kind of has been doing that sort of thing. Like, seems pretty, like, if you were within that period of time, like, it's all gravy. So I'm, like, trying to, like, instill some confidence saying, like, yeah, this stuff is okay.
It's legit, yeah.
It's not,
yeah.
you know, it's not going to explode.
It's not a pyramid scheme.
What's Anissa's view on personal finance investing? Do you guys talk about finances and
we try to talk about it a little bit. It's she's less into it than I am, obviously. Like I kind of have a for it, like you do, where it's just like I'm spending my free time looking at stuff.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I'd say more average. Like she's like your average, maybe one of your viewers. I don't know. Your viewers are actually a little bit crazier. I think
viewers are probably above average.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, imagine you watching just. Minus 50%.
Yeah.
So tone it down. Don't invest as much. Don't save as much.
And I think she's just in general more focused on living like a happy life, like realizing at what point like the money is like good to live your life and like not going beyond that sort of thing. Like, because there's really like in her mind, there's no point in like chasing a bigger bank.
Mm-hmm. And you think that's affected you? Because during the interview, you said that like 100,000, you kind of
felt like I feel the same.
So you naturally feel the same. It wasn't an effect of hers.
She's had an influence on me for sure. It's just like it's something I've thought about. I've heard that like stat before. I think I think it's like two different levels based on this study. Like maybe 60 or 70,000 is like.
Yeah, it's good. Diminishing, like, happiness returns after a certain
income. I don't know how. I don't want to say like I don't know how true
I think
that
it's
is,
super valid. And a perfect example is this. Like, when I looked at how much, before coming over here, how much I spent for the year, and it was like 40,000, I'm like, man, I'm doing a lot of crazy shit in the year. Like, I've only spent 40,000. Like, and that's including everything. That's like my mortgage and all that. I'm like, this is crazy. If I was on a, you know, a pretty nice salary of like, I don't know, 80,000, I'd be like living no differently, really. I think all that this allows me to do, like having the big bank account, is to not give a fuck and do these crazy investments and be like, oh, I'll still be fine. I'll still be fine. A little rich getting richer sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think once you hit that threshold, like where you're going to be different. But I think once you can start saying like, just throw the, you know, pasta sauce in the shopping cart. Like, I don't care what price it is. Mm-hmm. It's all roughly the same. $2 to $10
Wow, that's powerful right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. I feel like if you can do that, that's like about as good as it's ever going to get. You know, I don't think everyone should like use that as their barometer, like Bill Gates on The Price is Right, like not knowing what normal things cost. It's still, I think, good to have an idea of what money's doing, but I think to not stress about these little things is exactly what you. Like, exactly the benefit you get from having a big cushion.
I agree. I would say I'm no happier now than I was maybe 8 years ago. But it just having the means not to necessarily let... I do let the money dictate a lot of things. Like, restaurants, for example. Like, I don't look at what the item is. I'll look at what the price is first. Oh. And then I'll decide what to eat based on, like, this is 14, but that's 18. Let me do the $14 one. And then I'll see what else is 14. I'll pick based on that.
Wow.
But
it's nice. Like more of a game for you, though, I think.
Yeah, but
it's like, not even necessarily like you don't think you can afford that. It's more like I'm going to choose the value option.
It just seems wasteful. I don't know what it is. It just seems wasteful.
You're paying someone's wage. That's why I love the DoorDash and stuff so much. It's like $3 tip, $5 tip there, and it doesn't feel like anything to me.
But some of that could be passed on with a cost. Like a steak would cost more than, let's say, a salad. So maybe the profit margin on the salad is actually higher for less money than the steak.
I mean, it could be.
So sometimes they make less money on the more expensive items.
Yeah, yeah.
So
I get what you're saying,
but yeah,
I just think you're in a position where you could. It's not. I don't think of it as like splurging. Think of it as you putting like more money into things that you enjoy in a like a practical way, rather than necessarily like investing.
Yeah, the only thing that two things. I bought myself a piano. That was a big thing. That piano I showed you in the picture, and an aquarium.
Yeah.
So that's getting built in February. So the aquarium is something I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah. It's so like a saltwater aquarium?
Saltwater. It turned out, so it was originally going to start at like 150 gallons. Then it went to 250, and it went to 305 gallons.
Why did it keep going up? What do you mean?
When I looked at the size of it, originally it was going to be 5 feet long, and I'm like, well, it's 6 feet long looks better.
Yeah, it's not going to make... Yeah, exactly. So, you're going to have to maintain it either way. Right. So it's like...
And then it's like when you get depth to the aquarium, when you look at it and you want the rock work in the... in the center, then it's important to be 33 inches instead of 28.
Yeah.
Because getting that extra few inches is really going to make it look just a lot more natural. And then the height, 29 inches high.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I do have a question for you, Ian. It seems like you're more excited about investing your money than you are about scaling your income. Because you said, like, it doesn't matter after a certain amount, but for some reason you seem really fixated on investing and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's just something that I haven't, like, really done, and I think I'm sort of, like, really wide-eyed about it right now because all my investments are doing well. So it's, like, that is obviously, like, encouraging me quite a bit. But I still think there's just a lot of general stuff to learn, and I think I eventually want to either share the information with other people, friends and family, to maybe help them if they're in like a different position. I genuinely don't feel like I'm earning,
like you could be making more enough doing YouTube videos than you could like.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. That's okay. I see what you're saying. You're saying like I could make a lot more if I just invested more time on the YouTube stuff and scaling up or, and making a business.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. If you look at just the numbers, probably make more money just scaling up the channel, like just double
you
down
on that.
Make
millions a year. Yeah. I'm certain on that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Easy.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. I just don't like, I just feel like I've made enough on there. You know what I mean?
I like that. That's cool.
Yeah.
What flipped? Did you get to a point where you're just like, all right, I've kind of done it? Did it get repetitive? What?
No, I mean, I think, Graham, you're making it sound like I'm quitting YouTube or something, right? Like, I'm not quitting that. I really enjoy that a lot. Yeah. The, like, drive for the money, it's just, like, I'm realizing that there are other ways to earn money. So it's really encouraging to me that I can maybe make whatever I want on YouTube without having to worry about the money ramifications and get, like, a, you know, source of income from somewhere else.
Because
I'm mainly, I think, worried about just, like, YouTube... My YouTube either, you know, losing a viewership or just ad rates going down or whatever.
Yeah.
Being poor and just being like, I could keep doing it.
Yeah.
How monetizable are you on YouTube? Like, what's your CPM?
I don't know, to be honest.
You don't know?
No.
How much do we check this on a daily? Can we check your analytics?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Oh my gosh. We ask all of our guests. This is exciting.
Do people usually?
Yeah,
everyone does.
Yeah.
This is it. I don't know what you want to see here.
I want to see the real time.
What do you think about that?
What happened there?
You lost 10,000 subscribers in 28 days.
Yeah, yeah. That's just been a slow grind. I'm like purging a lot of people from my audience, I think. It was from, I think it's a carryover from me and my girlfriend announcing her OnlyFans. And there were a lot of fans who were really disappointed about that.
So dumb.
So they've just been like... Just every month, there's just like a new group who's like, he's changed.
Oh, geez. Okay.
That can you click up there and then go to analytics?
Yeah. Yes. I want to see this.
Okay, so your real-time views are 560,000.
Oh, steady. That's steady.
On that? And then here? Yeah, go to like 90. Fair enough. When you post, there's a big spike.
Yeah.
But you do have consistent views. Overall,
really consistent.
In the last 90 days, 28 million.
Yeah. I don't look at
this. Why?
It's just meaningless.
But it's not, though. It's like when you start going digging into this,
scroll down.
This is basically how you make it on YouTube. Like, this is what we pay all the attention to.
Okay, so your CPM is $6.50, meaning that your RPM is about $3.25, which is, I will say, one of the lowest that we've seen.
Yes.
Will you say that's the lowest?
Probably.
Either that or Michael Reeves. And I'm guessing it's just due to the swearing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think we got our information we needed.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. That was insightful.
Wait, let me show you my audience. Is that
89.4%
like
male?
I think so.
Yeah.
Let me see.
What about, let's see, geographies. Okay. So yours is actually probably a pretty marketable audience. You want over 50% from the United States, and they'll give you high CPMs and sponsorships.
My female audience is growing 14% female.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, most of the audience just on YouTube is male, disproportionately male.
Right. Oh, that makes sense.
By a lot.
Right.
So factor that in, definitely.
Yeah.
I like it. Your analytics are actually really good. They're very
Thanks,
good.
Man.
And you don't post that much. It's impressive.
Yeah. Well, okay, so, Graham, you were saying, I am under the impression... Let me rephrase what I said before. Okay. I don't think it's completely useless information.
Okay.
I think it's good from a very kind of pulled out macro perspective of okay, where are things headed? It's good to check in maybe every couple of months or something like that.
No.
That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. To us, this is as micro as you could get. To me, that's your blueprint to everything on YouTube.
It's interesting how some YouTubers are crazy about their analytics and some just aren't.
Yeah, if you enjoy it, you guys obviously enjoy it, you know?
To us, it's a game of, chess. It's trying to match with the algorithm, be what is it going to like? What's going to hit? It feels so good when, everything lines up and it just hits.
Yeah.
I agree. I think maybe the way that I'm different is I only like playing the game when I feel like playing it rather than saying, every time I upload, it needs to be, I need to monitor the metrics of it or whatever.
Sure.
Nate O'Brien.
Yeah.
But Nate O'Brien?
Nate O'Brien is just like that. Yeah.
Very lax about their YouTube channel. Yeah. But they do so well.
But he's doing so well.
I think it's one of those things where it's the difference between getting a B+ and an A.
But right? Since you do only post when you really feel inspired to, maybe the content that you do put out it's just overall better because you don't feel forced to continuously put out content.
Well, yeah, I was also thinking there's a bit of that. I think part of the reason I don't put out as much is because people are more willing. They're not inundated with me. There's a lot of channels that are I need to post every day. And I know my reaction to a lot of those channels is I don't watch your shit because I can't keep up with it. Or I've seen way too much of you. So I try to put myself out in small spurts. It's one of the reasons I didn't want to do live streaming for a long time because I didn't want to put myself out there that frequently because I don't want people to get tired of what I have to say.
I feel like that.
Yeah.
I get nervous about that since we are posting daily, you know?
I've enjoyed it, but it's different audiences. Daily between three channels.
It's a different game. Yeah. There are some people... Yeah, it's different for every channel. I think you can do it more because you actually have content to give to people. Mm. You have you're looking over things, you're reviewing things.
Newsy, yeah.
When you're reviewing stuff, I would feel comfortable doing it all the time. If I was reviewing stuff, it wasn't necessarily about me all the time and it wasn't me focused. A lot of it is pretty me focused.
But see, I don't know. I feel like with you, you're someone I'm jealous of in the sense that you could talk about anything and I would watch it, anything. And I've always wanted to get to that point where I could talk about this candle here and people would want to hear me talk about the candle. Your Save the Squirrels initiative, I've seen basically all of your squirrel videos. Uh-huh. I don't know why. It's just really entertaining. And just you talking about catching the black squirrel. Or one squirrel is
50% peanuts.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite videos, by the way. Less than 50%
peanuts. So good.
It's seriously one of my favorites.
That's so weird to me. I don't get that.
How did you come up with that idea?
One of the things was I was just so amazed that you made it entertaining. Was for me entertaining in itself.
But that's what I'm talking about. You could talk about anything and everyone would just watch because it's I think it's more about you than it is the content at this point.
Right. Yeah, I think you might have a point. It's hard for me to self-reflect on it and really figure it out. I think the only thing I've grabbed onto is infrequent posting. I feel like that's kind of the only measurable metric I can.
It's like Michael Reeves. He posts once every 2-3 months,
You drop.
And it's
what you're
whenever he puts out a video, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're kind of starved for
it. But if he did it, every week, then I'd probably miss a few.
But also,
be whatever.
His videos are so intricate. He couldn't really do in my I don't know if
he hired
could do,
a team he could.
I'm talking about
could.
A sit down video. His videos I watch because they're so just I can't believe he just did that or made that. That's genius and it's funny. I don't think I've seen him just do a sit down. Just a straight sit down talk.
No, definitely not.
No. So that's why Michael Reeves, I feel like he can only post even if he worked 24/7, I feel like maybe he could post every other week with what he's doing. Maybe.
I do have a question, Ian. Graham tells me that he thinks it's good and he encourages me to have an Insta story running 24/7. I completely disagree. And I post on my Instagram maybe once every 3 weeks. And I post on my like feed once every month at the most. And Graham says you gotta have it constantly running to engage people. But I think like I get so sick when people have their feed running all the time because I feel like I'm drowning in it, you know? And I like, I don't know.
It's gonna depend for the type of consumer, I think. I think there are some people who like are really like on it and engaged. I try to think from like I'm the only person who I just base it off of like what I feel about these like you're saying Instagram stories?
Yeah.
Okay. So like there are people whose Instagram stories who are like so long
and I hate those. It's all little dots.
Right? They look like little specks. Then you just go and swipe through.
Yeah, I don't do that.
Right. But I mean there are people who are on there every day, but it's like it's kind of it just depends on who you're going for. Like I find it a treat. I follow PewDiePie on Instagram. Yes. And it's kind of a treat to see what he's up to occasionally. If he was doing something every day, it wouldn't be very, like, special.
It's special.
Yeah. So it's tough. I don't, like, have great judgment for people who, like, but that's another thing is, like, PewDiePie isn't my bread and butter on Instagram stories, right? Like, there are other people who I will check up on more regularly and see what they're doing. But it's hard. It just depends on what type of viewer you are. There are, like, gaming channels that I watch that get, you know, 20,000 views per video.
Who?
And it's, like, well, now I'm struggling because I don't want to underestimate the amount of views they get and say, oh, it's this channel. No, but I watch a lot of Hearthstone streamers, so.
Oh, Kriparian.
Kriparian.
Trump.
Yes.
Disguised Toast.
Yes.
Those were the guys I used to watch back in the day all the time. I love Hearthstone.
Yeah. I play a lot of Hearthstone Battlegrounds. And so I'll watch their stuff when I'm like falling asleep at night, but that's like daily. They get like a lot of watch time from me. And, but I like, I'm not, that's to kill the time basically. I'm not going to their channel saying like, what's next Kriparian video to watch? It's just kind of like, you know, I know he's uploaded something today. Like he uploads twice a day or whatever it is.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm.
See, I told Jack, like we, you know how we talked about that filter? Where it goes main channel, second channel, podcast. Take from the podcast.
I'm like the last line.
Jack is the last of the line. So the people who follow Jack on Instagram are like the people that will do anything. Yeah. Jack says jump and they say how high.
Yeah.
But I told Jack it would be a fun idea to post editing clips. Like as he's editing the second channel, just always have a clip running where people could tune in and see the behind the scenes of just like what's the next video you're working on or just seeing old things like that I think are fun. And when you always have a story running, I've noticed Instagram tends to prioritize your stories above everybody else. The more engagement your stories get, the further up you show on the list. So,
is that how that works?
Generally.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You don't post that much.
No.
Instagram. Ever.
Instagram sucks, dude. I hate Instagram.
Why?
It's just boring. There's like nothing on there for me.
TikTok. I saw you have TikTok.
Yeah.
Dude, I saw you when you had like a couple, like literally so few followers. Do you still have a few followers?
Oh, that's funny, dude.
Do you still have a few followers?
Yeah, I have like maybe 1,000.
Yeah, dude, really? I saw you when you had like 100.
Second.
No, I literally think TikTok. I saw you when you had double digit followers. Yeah. And I was like, what?
That's
I was like,
funny.
How is Ian on here? And there were comments saying like, did we just find Ian's TikTok with like 20 followers?
Yeah. It's you ain't gonna find it the traditional
how do
way.
I find
your
it?
Name is so weird.
It's I think it's Happy Grookey.
Happy what?
Grookey.
How do you spell
Grooky.
99.
Yeah, are you happy that you like are small on there?
Yeah. Well, it's the same logic with Twitch or whatever. It's just like only the hyper fans or people who are like really like paying attention will find it.
Yeah.
I just made that. I made a stupid TikTok at the time. I've been on TikTok for almost since it's been around, basically. And I finally, like, last year made the account. And I just hadn't told anyone about it. I was like, oh, yeah, like, I have, like, 3 videos now. It's just nothing. But it is really funny to see people either coming from Anissa's channel or, like, just randomly coming across
I get so excited. Like, when I found it, I was like, oh, I found it.
It's a secret.
How did you find gold?
How did you find it?
Dude, Dax. Something Dax. Yeah, it was Dax.
Yeah. I reacted or I duetted one of Dax's videos.
Okay.
Dax was like, react to this video. And he was, like, telling a joke. He was like, I want to test out this joke to see if it's any good.
Yeah. And you like or something.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It was just funny.
Yeah. Dax's TikTok is really
Dax's
awesome.
TikToks are probably my favorite.
Yeah.
They're I gotta so funny.
Yeah.
I have a hard time getting into TikTok. I need to post.
Dude, TikTok's awesome. You would do really well on TikTok.
He has. I have. He has one video with like over 10 million
views.
Oh,
no. It's almost at like 17 million.
Why wouldn't you just keep grinding on that?
I didn't like it.
Money, man.
Yeah.
That's where the money
is. No.
Oh, and if you get big enough, they have the creator fund.
I'm a part of the creator fund.
Okay.
17 million views on that video.
What'd you do? What'd you talk about?
How much money I made on YouTube?
Oh,
it's a pretty easy video to make.
It was a one-minute video. Ryan Pineda, who's on the podcast, told me that if I made that video, it's going to get a million views. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll make the video, and we'll see how it does. It got, I think, like 14 million views in like 2 days. And I had so many people reach out to me because of that TikTok. I was shocked.
Yeah.
It's like it's a whole new audience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just people who, like, the vlog squad was so, like, they saw that TikTok. I was like, what? But they knew me not from YouTube, but from the TikTok.
Yep.
I was blown away, but I'll show you how much I've made. This is the first time I think I'm revealing my...
yes, TikTok revenue. It's going to blow your brains.
So here's how much I made yesterday. Oh, wait, here, is this it? So I made 32 cents. On
that's
the 16th view dashboard. Okay. So far I made $737 and I make between
livable
30 and 63 cents a day.
That's so weird. How much money do they have to give away to people? I think
know.
That's such a bizarre
clearly not
form.
Very much. It's like here's, 4 cents.
When the video was taken off, that one day I made $216.
That's great.
And that I think was on 7 million views that day. Something absurd.
What's your guys' take on like a YouTube premium?
I like it because you can close your phone.
Yeah.
You can lock your phone. That's the best part.
American Express offered a streaming credit. So I use that credit for YouTube Premium. Worth it. Actually, I really like it.
Also for the
Pay.
Ads?
What you get from viewers watching your stuff with YouTube Premium.
I don't know.
How does it compare?
YouTube Premium is really, that's maybe like 3% is
YouTube
Premium.
That makes sense. With me, it's like closer to half.
Wow.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I'm super into it for that reason because I'm like, why wouldn't everyone promote YouTube Premium?
But why didn't, why couldn't you just do the creator, what is it, the monthly subscription? The creator thing? What is it called?
Memberships.
Memberships.
Because you have to offer something with memberships.
No, you
Graham.
Don't.
I mean, you don't, but you probably should.
Little icons.
I have icons. People.
Wait, you don't even stream on YouTube and you make people. Not make.
Yes, I force people. I force people.
No, they get they icons when they comment.
Here's the thing. We have
They get icons when they comment?
Yeah. We have such an active audience.
They could use those icons even when they're not live streaming?
No, only in for my videos. Well, no. Yeah. Just they comment on one of my videos and they get an icon.
Pretty awesome.
And for people
icons are good.
But the thing is, for people who want to stand out in the comment section, if you're scrolling, you're more likely to read the comments with like a little Lotus Exige next to it. Yeah.
I like that. Okay, I might do that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So people like it.
Do they
just
give
for the
you
icon.
Anything else other than the icons?
No.
Man.
I think it's
they need to make that more compelling. Because that's they need to offer more because I feel like
they
could. Yeah.
Well, I could. But like that's just for what for people who want the icons, it's there.
If they don't,
then so be it. But
I just feel like everyone would make more money because, like the YouTuber doesn't want to add more responsibility on their already busy schedule.
Yeah.
So if you can add, like, a default thing that just happens, like, that is rad.
Yeah, the issue with
that
that I see, I think YouTube takes, like, 45% of it. That's the only negative aspect of it because otherwise you would just go to, like, Patreon or something. Mm-hmm. Or you start an OnlyFans.
Yeah, I could do that.
Have you thought about that?
I have genuinely have considered that, yeah.
What would you post on there?
Man, just waggling my dick around, I don't know.
Would you actually?
I mean,
Jackson,
No, that's not what I'm saying, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, I made my position on it pretty clear, like, I'm not opposed to it at all. Like, mm-hmm. I don't, it's one of those things, it doesn't particularly interest me. If I had, like, an intro, since my girlfriend has done it, I've like started to like look into the app more and see how it works, and I'm like more interested in that scene in general.
Uh-huh.
There's like a lot of money to be made.
Oh, jeez,
And you've been working out a lot, haven't you?
Thanks for noticing, dude.
You know,
yeah, I've been lifting.
Yeah. So I feel like you could be a pretty hot topic on the app,
a hot commodity on OnlyFans. Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah,
of course, man.
What if your girlfriend gets jealous that you're on the app?
Yeah, you earn more than her.
Yeah. I mean, that's
you
a possibility.
More fans than she does, and then all of a sudden now
you
it
would
creates
make
tension in the relationship.
You really would.
Thanks, dude. I think I might.
Actually,
it would be funny for you to cosplay like firemen, like put your foot on a stump or whatever.
Police officer.
No,
man.
Or just even, like, yeah, exactly.
Just take like moisturizer and put it in your hand. Like that's the whole video. That's it's true. Just like random stuff. You would do so well.
Yeah,
so
I've actually seen a lot of joke OnlyFans, and they like creators have really leveraged like a lot of really just like essentially jokes, and they've taken it pretty far.
Yeah.
On there
for the right price, I would buy it.
Yeah, for the right price. Yeah. There's a lot of people who do it for free, and that's like another reason I like OnlyFans is because like you can choose your monetization model. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of girls who are just like, my OnlyFans is free. I'll occasionally post a picture or video that is paid. So, like, you can look at the preview or whatever it is and pay for that. And there are some that just do the monthly subscription.
I would do it. And I'm telling you, OnlyFans is such a big business. We know somebody who is managing some of the girls on OnlyFans, and they're pulling in $200,000 to $500,000 a month.
Yeah.
And that's the – and they're not, like, even – like, the top ones. Like, I love the Belle Delphine interview. But, like, I bet she's probably doing about $2 million a month from OnlyFans.
Do you interview Belle Delphine?
No.
Oh,
no.
What do you mean?
She was on Impulsive.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But to make $500,000 a month.
It's ludicrous.
It's just, it's insane. I don't know how long it's going to last, but.
I think it'll last a lot. I think it's going to stay. When you look into it and you realize how, like, horrendous the porn industry is, and it's just like, oh, this is, like, long time coming, like. Women and men needed a way to make their own money. If they're going to get exploited to that extent, like
they may as well control it.
They need it. Like they need that money. So there's just like so many nasty predatory people out there who, you know, I don't know. It's just, it's a really bad scene that needed to be disrupted. So it's really good that it did.
I agree.
Yeah.
So I think you're next.
Yes.
You, Graham, you guys could do like a joint.
We can get it oiled up.
Wrestle?
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, people would pay a lot of money for that.
That's a damn good idea.
You know what? If Logan Paul is going to like fight Mayweather, like at least we could do
wrestling match. Now you're thinking.
HBO. Just put that on HBO pay-per-view, like $90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd do well.
Man.
For the right price. I mean, for the right.
Yeah.
Anything.
Sponsored by Weeble, probably.
Oh, yeah, I am selling bathwater.
What?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, he's not selling a cup. He's selling a gallon.
That's
it's like, how are you going to ship out a gallon? Yeah, and you're actually giving like the water a purpose. Like people can actually do stuff with a gallon.
I put that on my my merch store. It's $5,000. Like, and I put it out there just for jokes. But if someone actually buys it, I'll do it.
Yeah.
So it's $5,000.
Until they realize that you were serious and you took their money after them clicking proceed to check out.
If they checked out, I would take their money, but I would actually give them what they purchased. I would actually do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, there's a guy who offered how much, like $10,000 to pie me in the face. What happened to that?
I don't know. He just hasn't really followed up.
All right, we got to follow up with him.
Yeah.
I said someone could pie me in the face, $10,000 to charity.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Come here, pie me in the face, $10,000, put it to charity.
That's a great one.
So I do that, yeah.
I do have a question about Dax. And in that... In that documentary, it was really interesting because I feel like I learned a lot about you.
Yes.
Instead of Dax.
Awesome. That's great to hear.
When you went out in public, you weren't how I imagined you would have been because you seemed like nervous or a little like anxious even in public, which isn't what I would have expected.
Yeah. So you'll notice that in videos in the past, the Leafy Content Cop, even the Tana Moju one, like I'm not exactly that same way. And it's pretty much like the character thing. Like I'm able to get in a mindset. I'm able to put on a little bit of a mask and be a little bit more exuberant because I know I'm getting paid for it. I'm doing a job. I'm completing a task. Whereas in that moment, I'm like, this is Dax's thing. And like, I don't plan on interviewing
people
about smoothies.
So you hadn't
put on
the face yet.
Yeah. I was so detached. Like it's not me. So like, I think Dax's mindset was exactly the same. When I asked him, how do you do this? How do you just go up to people and be so f***ing awkward? He's like it's a lot easier, like, knowing that you guys are filming. And it's like, oh, like, you would have a harder time doing this if we weren't. And he's like, yeah, we wouldn't really do this.
That's true. That would be the same with me.
Yeah.
If I were filming, I'd have no problem with it. But if it's just me alone, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it comes down to.
So you think how you acted in that situation was more reflective of your personality?
Oh, absolutely, yes.
That's so interesting.
And I was feeling, I don't know how much of Dax we showed in that, him like pep talking me, but he, there were some really cringe moments where I was like trying to go up to people and Dax like, you know, kept like really encouraging, like, you could do it, man. Like, it's just easy. You just go up and ask them if they watch a YouTube show about smoothies or whatever.
Yeah.
And
yeah, that was so funny. Like, this guy's iDubbbz, you know who he is or whatever? Yeah. He has 7 million subscribers. Dude, that was so funny.
Yeah.
You should have shown those pep talks.
Yeah. Some of them, it was a little bit iffy because in the field we had lav mics and they were not great. There was a lot of interference. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of footage actually on Hollywood Boulevard. But with so much stuff going on there, like even just 10 feet away, there was already too much static and too much noise. It just kept cutting out.
So. That's too bad.
All the behind-the-scenes stuff, Patreon that?
Oh, yeah. So OnlyFans it. Oh, yeah.
I would love to see it. Graham would love
OnlyFans
to see
it. Yeah.
Like, I like the idea of merging like behind-the-scenes and OnlyFans content.
I would. Yeah. Don't let any
whatever you want on there.
Don't let anything go to waste at all. Everything that you film
honest,
should be.
I think you would get a better split on OnlyFans than you would Patreon. I
probably
think Patreon is a little steep.
Doesn't OnlyFans take like 20? It's like 20%. Yeah.
What is Patreon? Do you know?
I don't know.
Yeah. I think it's a little more. I think it's closer to 30.
Yeah.
Dang.
All right. Oh, I feel like we're going for this. Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think
we could
good.
Go. We could go as long as you want. Okay.
I feel
all
like,
right,
can
cool.
we get a minute take on a couple subjects that I just want your opinion
oh,
on?
Oh, yeah. Rapid fire. Yeah.
Rapid fire.
Cameo.
Don't like it. I'm never going to do a cameo, but it's a great new alternative source of income for a lot of people who have been canceled.
I'm on cameo.
Money gurus.
Some of them are good. Some of them are bad. If they want to sell you a course, probably bad. That's about it.
Logan Paul.
Seems like a nice guy. Probably would be really intimidated by my stature if he were to ever meet me, and I don't blame him.
Who else? FaZe Rug. I didn't give you much there. Yeah, I don't know what I would say.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast.
Mr. Beast.
He's everywhere.
That's a great response. Anything else? I feel like we got a great resource.
Good, yeah.
I think we're good. There's nothing else you want to mention?
No, I think we're
okay,
good.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Which camera am I going to look in?
That one.
This one? Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. It's so bright. It's so bright here. Well, guys, thank you so much for watching. I really appreciate it. And Ian, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us for like over 2 hours. This is one of the longer episodes that we've done.
It was worth it.
But this has been so much fun.
Next Iced Coffee Hour podcast, I'm going to make a bold prediction. It's going to be $56,000 made on the podcast so far.
So we got to make another 20. All right. Well,
all right. Yeah.
We'll make 20 grand.
Let's do it. 20 grand. Yeah. Just snap your fingers.
You better put some good mid rolls in this one.
Oh, yeah.
All right. We got to load up on sponsors on this.
Yeah.
Just every other like second. Thank you, our video sponsor today. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for watching. We'll link to all of our information down below in the description. Get your 4 free stocks. Sign up for Yada. And with that said, you guys, until next time.
Okay. That's going to also be the end.
I'll pay attention to that.
There we go. So it's a little on the bright side, but right now the lighting just works for some reason, okay. So we're okay. I don't know why, but okay.
It's terrible lighting.
What?
The lighting is kind of hectic.
It's really intense. Usually we do these podcasts, by the way, at like 7 to 8 p.m. at night.
Yeah.
Never. This is the first podcast we've done at this hour.
Makes you look tan.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway.
I'm going to start this sun.
Go okay. for it. We're going to stop you if you do it wrong, though.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Ian. Welcome to the Iced Coffee Hour.
You did it wrong. Yeah. The 35th ever episode of the Iced Coffee Hour. My name is Ian. So
okay,
far,
okay, 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 okay.
Ever.